Good morning and welcome to our broadcast at Catholic Radio, KBVM, KMME. We're grateful to be with you and we're really blessed to have this opportunity to journey with you footstep by footstep. Maybe it's knee by knee or palm by palm as we just slowly walk. We pray, we stroll, we wander in these 40 days in the wilderness and ask for the presence of the angels and saints to surround us and to minister to us in this time of prayer, and especially for those who are preparing to receive the sacraments. And traditionally, in the church, way back in the early time of the Christians, this was a time for people who were preparing for baptism to get ready for that reception, for that penance time to take over, and the community to support them in prayer. And now we all have this three-pronged approach to the Lenten season, that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And we're going to share a little bit more of that on our in-person series today with our guest, who has just released a beautiful book. And this is a great resource for families, for those of you in small communities, or even just for you alone who would like to really meditate with Mother Teresa. What a blessing each and every day through your Lenten journey. As we begin this morning, I want to share with you these words that are proclaimed in languages all around the globe. And I just love to think about that. The universal church, that's what Catholic means, universal. And so throughout the entire church, these words are shared during the Holy Mass. Forget me not, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste and come to my help, O Lord, my strong salvation. Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works, and so comfort them with your protection here as to lead them graciously to gifts on high. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we come together in this Lenten journey, and it's always a blessing to bring folks to you all across the country and literally around the globe. Many years ago, we met up with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, who's put together some amazing books and resources for us about our Catholic faith. And she, number one, is a Catholic wife and mother and has been transformed, I think, by God's graces to write, to share, as speaking, to lead different folks in prayer, and also to travel around and share a message of hope through the Catholic Church, and especially from the eyes of a Catholic wife and mother. Her latest work, in fact, she's got two new works out this year. One of them is for the Lenten season. It's called Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa, with prayers, reflections, and special activities designed for families, and another book that I actually handed off to a new Catholic mom, Embracing Motherhood, and that came out earlier this year. Our friend Donna Marie is here with us by phone out on the other side of the country. Good morning, Donna Marie. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, good. It's not morning here, Dina Marie.
Oh,
well, yes,
that's
it still is.
It's almost
it still is.
Is.
Good morning.
It's always great to have you here. And as different projects pop up, whether you're traveling to Rome to talk about Catholic media and the role of women in the church, or you're talking about Mother Teresa, it's such a blessing. And I was excited to see this newest booklet that came out, and I've been pondering through it day by day. It's a beautiful daily resource. There's a lot of resources that are out there for the seasons of the church, but as we get started, I want to have you share a little bit about, you know, as you were growing up, and I know you grew up in a strong Catholic home where much of the tradition and the devotions of the Catholic faith were really lived out. Maybe reflect a little bit as Lent approached in your home, what were things like for you and your siblings and your family life? How did things change from ordinary time as you came into the Lent and then prepared for the Easter and Pentecost seasons?
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for all of your kind words you just spoke. But back to my home life when I was a little girl, we didn't have polished halos hovering over our heads, just so you know. We were a large family of eight kids, and we had a hectic household, and my mother was the one who really passed on the faith. My father was busy with his getting up at 4 in the morning and going off, traveling an hour or more away to go to work and coming home exhausted, and he had lots of physical difficulties to deal with. So he went to bed early to be able to do it all over again the next day to provide for his wife and children, eight children. So my mom really, shouldered the transmission of the faith in our family, and being that first and foremost educator. And it wasn't, like I said, we weren't perfectly behaved with those halos and our hands clasped in prayer all the time, but we found God in the nitty-gritty details of family life, too, you know, and my mom was one to always teach us that, you know, to pray. She would light a candle, and I remember the blue votive glass in front of the statue of the Blessed Mother, and she'd gather us and have us kneel down and pray the rosary. So, you know, that really has stayed with me. And my grandmother as well, with, you know, being so faithful and praying the rosary, that really stayed with me so, you know, so much so that it came down through my domestic church. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I always prayed the rosary every day throughout my whole life. I mean, but it was such an important part of my life, and I really embraced it and I love praying the rosary every day now. I did, you know, throughout my life, but it just, it was there. It was always part of the fabric of my life. And so this is why it's so important to lay down those foundations of prayer with your children, even if it's, you know, even if things are crazy and it looks like, you know, you're an unholy household, you have to constantly strive for those moments to pray and to teach the children to pray and teach the family to have their family prayer time. And as Mother Teresa use Father Peyton's words, a family that prays together stays together. So, you know, whatever you can do to, you know, endeavor to create that domestic church and create that atmosphere of prayer will stay with your children all, you know, throughout their lives. They'll always have those memories of kneeling down, you know, and praying together or just praying at the dinner table or whatever you do with your family. So I had that in my home life, and thank God I did. I'm very blessed to have had that.
Yeah. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us, and her latest book is called Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa from Ave Maria Press. It's a great daily activity, prayer, reflection, really to give you something to chew on each and every day. We need a little bit of that sustenance, and the true food, as we learned from Jesus' experience, I think walking through the wilderness, is the Word of God, and to lay down that firm foundation. And you mentioned, Donna Marie, that foundation, which is critical for the domestic church, for the family life, this is the cell of human life, is the family. It's where our hearts and our minds are nurtured. And you wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Domestic Church, Room by Room, kind of reflecting on that core importance or value that is within a family, that isn't within a husband and a wife, and the children that come from their love, that sacramental love within the home. Share a little bit about how you saw domestic church. You know, from the eyes of a child, it looks a little differently than probably from the eyes of a mother and a father, right? Looking at your children. But as you kind of look up to your family, your parents, your grandparents, those role models, this is critical in the formation of our souls.
Right. We need to, like, take parts of the great big church and incorporate them into our little domestic church. And our Holy Fathers, you know, Pope John Paul II, Blessed Pope John Paul II, and Pope Benedict have mentioned, and I'm sure it was mentioned before, you know, that and it's in the Catechism, that our home should become a domestic church. It should be constantly evangelized, too. As a matter of fact, Pope John Paul II said, the little domestic church, like the greater church, needs to be constantly and intensely evangelized, hence its duty regarding permanent education in the faith. And so this happens in the course of each day, you know, in the home, and even if things are crazy busy and you have a toddler running circles around you and you're trying to take care of the baby and you have a teenager going through issues and you need to be present to that child too. You know, we're pulled in many directions as Catholic parents and particularly Catholic mothers, but try to set down the routine of prayer, you know, starting first thing in the morning with the morning offering. I think that's the most important prayer, to set the day on the right tone, offering your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings first thing in the morning to our Lord and asking Him to bless your day and to transform human hearts all throughout that day through the little things, through the little details. As Mother Teresa would say, and St. Therese of Lisieux, you know, small things with great love. And those small things are huge in God's eyes, I believe. So to try to create your domestic church, no, it's not a contest, and no one's going to come over and judge how your domestic church looks. But to have it blessed, have your home, whether it be a humble bungalow or a little apartment or a grand cathedral sort of home, you would like to get your parish priest or someone to come over and bless your home. And then bring sacramentals from the church into your home. You might have icons or pictures. And all of these things draw us to the sacred rather than the secular. You know, tune out of technology as much as you can in the household. Have it be an oasis of peace. You know, of course, you've got things going on there, but you want it to be a place where your family is comfortable and feels welcome, and other people feel welcome too, because your example, your Christian example, will radiate out and attract others to your Christianity, and they'll be wondering, gee, what is it that they have in their hearts that they're so calm? This woman asked me the other day, why are you so peaceful? Don't you worry about anything? And she was an atheist, and she's 90-something years old. And I brought her some chicken soup, and she was sick, and she just said, I just can't get over. You do all of these things, but you have that peace. And I don't preach at her because she doesn't want to be preached to. She's made that clear. But I said, you have to say it. If she asks you, I said, well, you're asking me, so I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Through prayer and just giving everything to God, I have peace because He takes care of it. So we have all those opportunities to evangelize, even, you know, going to a sick neighbor's home or someone coming into your own domestic church, the kids that come over to play with your kids. And we just give everything to God and ask Him to do the work, and we just keep praying and putting one foot in front of the other and walking in faith each day. So, I mean, I made it sound like it's just so simple. You just, and it is. It is with prayer. Prayer, but there is work involved with making sure, you know, your kids are on task and they stay away from the bad parts of the culture, and it's a constant awareness of what's out there and a vigilance protect them against the dangers of our world, and to also pray to develop a strong moral backbone so you're not just giving in to the whims of a child. I want this cell phone. I need this cell phone. And they're 10 years old.
So
we could talk for hours about the domestic church.
Well, and I think you make such a great point of what's surrounding you that supports the foundation. So the education, as you mentioned, the parents are the core educators throughout the life of their children, and so whatever is around them, whatever they hear, whatever they see, whatever they experience, from the morning routine to the closing of the day routine, that sticks with them, and it really builds part of who that little person is, that son or daughter of God. And so it's our role. And I'm always encouraged by the words of Mother Teresa when she says to not be successful, but be faithful. And I think our world pushes us to success. Well, how are you doing that over there? And parents, mothers, I think we kind of have this idea that we want to do the right thing and we want to have it look so good. But Mother Teresa has reminded us in her life example, be faithful. That's where the success lies, is our yes to God. Share a little bit about that, being faithful versus being successful, because it is a distraction that we want to be successful.
Right, and it can bring you so much peace if you just let go of that, and then you wouldn't have to be competing within your own mind.
Right.
And I devote a whole chapter to the demands of perfection in Embracing Motherhood, the other book you mentioned, because women, unfortunately these days, you know, have so much to contend with, but then also they feel they have got to be perfect, whether it be in their house, even in their parish. Am I doing enough in the parish, and am I on enough committees? And so I devote a whole chapter to that. I mean, I could talk longer on that, but I don't want to take up the time. But I just wanted to say, if we give everything to God and ask Him to help us with that, He will. And our Blessed Mother, let's try to emulate her virtues rather than try to be a perfect woman by today's standards. Let's be perfect in the way God wants us to be perfect. And that will come with prayer and practicing the virtues and being patient with ourselves and and the people around us, right?
Yeah, so true. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us, and her latest book, she mentioned too, Embracing Motherhood, and the one I have here in my hand from Ave Maria Press, Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa. And this features really daily prayers, reflections, and different activities. Share a little bit, because we've shared your story before of your opportunity in the past where you had a chance to meet and to spend some time with Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Charity, and your family really had this beautiful bond with her earlier in your family's lives. And now it's sounds like she is kind of a saint role model for you in the writing. Why did you choose her for writing a book for the Lenten season?
Well, she's always affirmed the significance in living a life of sacrificial love within our homes and wherever God calls us to be. And, you know, she lived her life to satiate the thirst of Jesus on the cross. So naturally, you know, I think of her when I think of Lent, and her simple and practical teachings, all of which we can apply to our own lives, make her an excellent Lenten spiritual guide for families, because she teaches us in simple ways, you know, and I incorporate that throughout each page of the book with, you know, just giving simple ideas to the family of ways that they can practice, you know, those three pillars of Lent: fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. You know, they might be thinking of fasting in terms of food, or almsgiving people might think in terms of money, but actually it can be done in actually a better way of if we do need to fast during Lent, so don't get me wrong, you do need to follow that the instructions from Holy Mother Church, mm-hmm. but we can also fast from things and from, you know, technology for a day or more, hopefully, and from fighting and grumbling and, you know, that kind of thing. So we can, each day, we're working on the virtues. We're teaching the children to be virtuous as we suggest to them, well, today, you know, smile at three people you'd rather not smile at, mm-hmm. and, you know, because they're driving you nuts. And this is, you know, Mother Teresa often spoke about smiling, even if you don't feel like it, you know, and that will bring someone joy. And then you know, find that you can pray for that person and you can offer love to that person. And like St. Therese did with that nun that was really harsh with her, she just kept loving her and loving her. And the nun eventually came around and was very transformed by Jesus loving through St. Therese. And Mother Teresa imitated St. Therese in so many ways, like the small things done with great love and the little way, you know, not trying to be complicated or successful, but to be faithful. And she one time came out of a bathroom, I think I told you this before, and she was smiling at a convent, and she said, "Some sister here really loves our Lord. That bathroom is sparkling clean." Mm-hmm. And her point was that the sister, whose job was to clean the toilets, she did it with love for our Lord, to have a nice, clean bathroom for everyone. So it gives us another way to look at our tasks in the home, mm-hmm. When, you know, the ones that we might not care to do so well or so often, and to be thinking that, you know, look at it, that you can do everything with love for our Lord, and then your life becomes a prayer because you're putting prayer and love into your actions, and that's how our Lord would like us to, you know, raise our family. And Mother Teresa gives us so much, you know, she was so, her wisdom was so amazing and so blessed that that's why I like to incorporate her into the Lenten season, to bring families closer together while they're praying together and hopefully closer to our Lord.
Yeah, so true. Again, the book is from Ave Maria Press. I do have a link to your website, Donna Marie, so people can check that out and look at all the different projects that you've been working on. And especially this book, we're still early into the Lenten season, and yes. So this would be a great addition to what you have. And I think it's just a couple of dollars, so it's a really easy.
Only $2.
Yeah, so you know, maybe get a couple of them for family, for friends, some people that you might be spending time at your school, or if you're a homeschool family and you've got kind of a network of other families, this would be a wonderful resource. And it doesn't get outdated, because next year, you can pull it back out again for the Lenten time.
Yeah.
Or if there's just some time during your life where you're feeling like you need to go through a little bit of extra reparation and a real prayerfulness, pull this book out. Maybe just turn to one of the pages, because we're going to talk in the second half of the program of really how you can use this book. And it's just a delightful way to encourage families to come together for prayer each and every day. I'm going to take a quick break and come back with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, her latest book again, Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa, and beautifully designed. It's a beautiful image of Mother Teresa on the front cover of the page, thanks to Ave Maria Press, which is out in Notre Dame, for helping us to share this book and the work of Donna Marie with you here on our broadcast this morning. A couple of times she has said these words, to do small things with great love, and I don't think Donna Marie knew that I had that song picked out just for you this morning from our friend Danielle Rose, who loves Mother Teresa and Therese the little way. So together, let's do small things with great love this Lenten season. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person on Catholic Broadcasting Northwest. Peace be with you. Stay with us. Be faithful in small things with great love. Good morning. This is In Person. I'm your host, Dina Marie. You're tuned in to Catholic Broadcasting Northwest. We greet our listeners in the Eugene area this morning, listening at 100.5 FM, locally in the Portland, Salem, Vancouver areas at 88.3 FM, and in Connecticut and Massachusetts, maybe in Texas and up in Washington State at kbvm.fm. Our guest this morning, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. She's at home, Catholic wife and mother, speaker, author, and a great Catholic friend. In fact, her recent work has been with Father Benedict Groeschel in a special program, but her latest book is a beautiful one that focuses on the words and really the life example of Mother Teresa in our lives for the Lenten season. It's called Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa, featuring prayers, reflections, and activities for the family. Donna Marie, with this book, share a little bit about how you wanted to organize it and page by page how this will help us to walk through the Lenten season.
Sure, Dina Marie. I begin with Ash Wednesday, and I go all the way until Easter. And each day, you'll find a verse, a quotation from Blessed Mother Teresa begins the page, and it sets the tone for each day of Lent. And then there will be a reflection for the parents. So in that section, I offer something to ponder each day, whether it's nourishment for yourself or for your children or some sort of instruction to help gather your family that day. Then comes family prayer, and there'll be some prayers. They're all mapped out for you. Then the next is a story from Mother Teresa's life. So if you read from the beginning to the end, you'll get an idea about her life, because I give a little chunk of it each day. So you'll learn from the earliest years all throughout her ministry, highlighting some notable moments. And we have it set up so each, if you have an older child, that older child can read that part of it during that part of your prayer time, or you can read it as the parent. Then we have the fasting. Almsgiving comes next, and it will just, each day there'll be a fasting suggestion. It will help to guide you, the parent, and the children, what you can fast from that day. You know, of course, there'll be, you fast from certain foods, and we need to follow the instructions of the church for that, but more often what I'm suggesting on the pages is fasting from bad habits or enjoyable activities, too, you know, to give you that Lenten penance and that giving up. And all throughout, you'll find lots of suggestions and ideas for the fasting aspect of Lent. And you can adapt whatever works for your family, of course, do that. And then almsgiving each day would be suggestions how to accomplish that as a family or individually. And, you know, when you begin Lent, you're going to ask the children what they decided to give up or what they want to do to please Jesus. And, you know, some of these things will have them maybe writing something down or drawing a picture or, you know, to keep mindful of what you've decided to do. But then each day there will be suggestions of these kinds of almsgiving, things that they can do. And it's very simple. Nothing costs anything. It doesn't cost money. You don't have to leave your home to do it. The only real cost would be time and how much love you want to put into it. And at the end, there'll be all through the day. And so each day, you'll be given a simple yet poignant thought to think about and pray about throughout the day. It's kind of like a burst of inspiration that kind of sums up everything, but you can sort of keep that in mind and in your heart and to help, you know, focus on that theme of the day.
Yeah. I'm just looking. Yeah.
Sums up, you know, how it's set up.
Right. I'm looking at today's page for Wednesday, the second week of Lent, and just to give people an example of some of the things, and this is something that we all, no matter what age we are all children of God, so I figure we're all younger than God, but you're asking for the fasting, for example, today, to ask the children, all of us, if we can fast from complaining today. That's a good one. I suggest that have an extra thoughtful, to be extra thoughtful and think before they speak, which will aid them in trying not to complain. So if we're going to ask our kids to do that, think it's probably a good idea for us to ask ourselves to do that as well. And it's so easy to just say, oh, why did she do that? Or I can't believe that they're doing that. Even to look at public figures, right? We can look at what's happening in the media or the news, and we can complain about those things, or we could bring those things out in prayer and focus on the thoughtfulness. And that's what your message is today. Thoughtfulness is the beginning of great sanctity.
So for Mother Teresa had said that earlier in the quote, so bringing that through the whole day.
It's so beautiful, so beautiful. And it doesn't take a lot of time, but you can make it take some time to really deeply meditate and really allow this to touch the children's lives. Yeah, yeah. As you've been able to hear from people, especially from something like the domestic church, room by room, where you're really looking at how to kind of really influence your family life through the walls of your home and what we do about that. What are you hearing from parents, from grandparents, even from kids maybe, of how books like this have been helpful to their family life?
Right. Well, this book in particular, even though, you know, they're not finished with it because Lent, as we know, is still in progress, I've been hearing from so many parents delighted with the book. And one family, one mom told me that she did a blog post about it. She said she couldn't believe how it transformed her family, bringing them all together to pray. And the father of the family said, I like this book because something about it, and I think it's Mother Teresa's intercession, drew that family together, which was not an easy task, let's say. So I'm hearing from people that they're delighted with the simple suggestions that they can apply to their family, and they can expound upon it by taking a little extra time with their prayers, like you said, and pondering and meditating a little bit more. So it can be quickly done, and you're still getting that prayer in, and you're gathering your family together, and you can allow it to take a little longer. You can meet at the breakfast table. You can meet at the dinner table. You could sit on the couch after dinner and be all together. And you could add maybe a decade of the rosary on certain days. I mean, you can add or subtract, but it's hopefully something that will help the family grow together in love in their domestic church.
Yeah.
And I think you were saying, it was hard to hear you, Dina Marie, I'm sorry, but I think you were asking about what are some problems in the, I couldn't hear you what you asked, problems in the domestic church?
Or just ways that this is helping the domestic church to really be stronger, like some of these family members are mentioning, that this is a way that can help us, because I think sometimes we need good tools to help us to come together, because we think, oh, how am I going to bring my kids together? But if you have a format that's easy to follow, and this really is, plus you get a little history. I think for people who enjoy history of the lives of the saints, wow, we get to learn about Blessed Mother Teresa in the 40-day journey. So there's little bits and pieces that will help each learning style to really focus, to listen, to share. Some people who like to talk a lot, those little expressives in our family members, right? Mm-hmm. They can share about some of the joys or sufferings of their day.
Yes, exactly. It's a time, to gather the family, to use that time to speak about, you have your prayers. You also can speak about how the day went, what's up for the next day, a wonderful time of communication. And we really need that in a world where we're slaves to little dings and sounds of status updates on all these things. We think we have to gather all this useless information with social media. Not that that's bad to use social media. I use it for evangelization purposes. I know you do, Dina Marie. Mm-hmm. But to be a slave to it, is awful. So it's, you turn off the technology, turn off the TV set and your phone, smartphones and all the different gadgets, and gather together and focus and pray and, go deep into your hearts. And you can't do that if everything is beckoning for your attention. So during Lent, it's a distinctive time of prayer and of coming closer to our Lord and meditating upon his passion and death, too. So it's a serious time. It's a penitential time. And it's also a joyful time as we come closer to our Lord. So let's give it some respect and some time that we'll carve out of our busy day. But just carve out 5-10 minutes, 15-20, it would be better. But even 10 minutes together with your family is a wonderful foundation to give them during Lent and to help them establish their prayer lives and your family's prayer life.
Yeah. Donna Marie with us here on Catholic Radio, and you mentioned this is a focus time of prayer, and penance is such a focus. We see the violet color that comes out for the Lenten season. There are penance services that are added to the celebration of the Eucharist and the liturgies to really encourage that sacrament of reconciliation. But for our parents and families with young children, many young children, this is the time of their preparation for reconciliation and then First Holy Communion. So there's a growing in this time of life for our young people and for the parents that help to lead them in preparing for those first sacraments. Can you share a little bit about, as a family, when you experienced it as a child with your other siblings and then you preparing your kids for the sacraments, how that is such a beautiful part of the building of a family life, preparation for sacraments and sacramental life?
Oh, well, it's a beautiful time, of course, because we're getting them ready for an amazing sacrament. And I think just taking that time to pause and to come away from the world, you know, and to focus on our faith and to meditate upon our faith and the teachings of the Church is only going to benefit, you know, yourself, you know, your whole family, really, and as many people that can get involved, the better. You know, hopefully the siblings will be supportive of their sibling who's going to be receiving a sacrament in the near future, and you know, to support that person and to pray for that individual as they're getting ready for that sacrament, that their soul will be ready and their heart will be ready. And so it's never going to be a waste of time. It's going to be a time that will be blessed and grace filled. So if families could take the time to just pause and just, you know, say, you know, after dinner tonight or on Wednesday nights or on Friday nights, we're going to be, you know, talking about Susie's First Holy Communion coming up. And this is, you know, we want to, and then you can just have them, it's a time, and if you pray, you start with a prayer, and you know, God is there. God is there with you in your domestic church, and you're inviting him in your prayer. So invoke the Blessed Mother, invoke the saints, and ask them to be part of your family and your guardian angels. Don't forget about your guardian angels and your children's guardian angels. And every family has a guardian angel, too, I was told by a holy priest. So to invoke all that is holy and draw it into your domestic church by God's grace, of course. He's the one who does everything, but we want to give him the time and the attention and show your children that you're serious about your faith and you're happy about it, you're joyful about it, and prayer is a conversation with the divine. It's not a chore. It's not, okay, we got to pray now. You know, go get your rosary beads. We're going to, you know, be joyful, smile, be happy. Yeah. This is wonderful. Life in a family is not always picture perfect, and the kids' halos are not always sparkling. But we know that it's all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. And while we do these things in the home, we're working on our sanctification, and we're earning graces for our families. And everything is an opportunity for grace, even and most especially the challenges. So whatever's happening in the challenging situations, you know, offer them all to God and ask him to grant you the grace and grant the children the graces, and just continue with that, carving out that time. If it doesn't work out and something happens and someone's sick or, you know, all kinds of things sometimes get in the way of these holy things, and we still need to persevere and try. But if it doesn't happen, don't worry. You know, just ask God to open up the next opportunity and just set it up. Carve the time out and just say, okay, well, we're going to do this tomorrow then. And let's have fun with it, and let's enjoy our the company together, and let's ask God to be with us. So, you know, just continue to put one foot in front of the other and walk in faith each day, you know, giving everything over to our Lord, and he'll take control, and he'll make everything work out. And it's in all those little faithful little things that are going to pave the way to heaven, really.
Yeah, they are those little steps, those heavenly steps that we take forward. And when we fall forward towards Christ is really that passion. And we do walk the stations of the cross during this time, the stations of the cross, a beautiful devotional any time of the year, but especially on Fridays or any time during the time of Lent to have that reflection on the passion of Christ. We talk a lot about family life, and before family life can really build, it's that relationship between a husband and a wife, that man and woman come together in that sacramental love that builds the home. And so a prayer book like this, Lent, bringing Lent home with Mother Teresa, but for a husband and a wife, and I was encouraged by the story you said that this father in the family that was sharing with you, that he was encouraged, and that brings strength to the family when a Saint Joseph can kind of take and say, okay, this is my role. But share a little bit about how it is important for the husband and the wife to be strong in their faith in order to share that to their children.
Sure. Well, it's extremely important, but I don't want the listeners out there to be discouraged if, for instance, they're a woman and their husband is not such a prayerful guy.
Right.
He might be disinterested. He might even have another faith, or he may not have any faith. Mm-hmm. So this is the ideal, Dina Marie, and I know that's what you mean, but I also just want to quickly mention that I don't want to turn anyone away because I do speak a lot about the challenges, and one of the challenges is the challenges of being, a Christian Catholic parent, and one is in having a husband who, or being a single mother. And I was a single mother for many years myself, and so I know the struggles of that. So don't feel that we're not including you if you are a single mother out there, and you're the one. Like my mother wasn't a single mother, but she really carried the burden and the responsibility of making sure her children were raised in the faith. If your husband is not such a prayerful guy, encourage it. And don't be afraid to express your faith in the household even so. And you might just want to start off with one Our Father together with your husband. You know, when you go to bed at night, just say to him you'd like to say a prayer together, even if he doesn't pray. Get him to pray that Our Father. You can do it. You can do it. Women have God-given gifts, and they have a lot of love in their hearts. So I started with my husband with one Our Father together, okay? I'm just letting you know that.
Yeah.
So that grew and grew and grew, and, we pray all the time together, and he's a very faithful Catholic. And so just want you to know that one prayer, one Hail Mary, one Our Father, one little simple informal prayer together, but keep at it every day. And for the husbands and wives who do have a united front and are joined in the faith and do have a sacramental union, keep that up and keep it strong and with your prayers together. And, we're human. We're all works in progress. So when something goes wrong or we're having a bad day or somebody gets grumpy or something, I mean, this is life. This is real. We're not running around with polished halos over our heads. We want to have them. We want to get to heaven, and that's what we're striving for. But we're not perfect. We have our shortcomings. So offer that all to God. Use a lot of forgiveness. Give out a lot of forgiveness. Accept forgiveness. Love, love, love. And that's really what's going to get us to heaven. It's our responses of love and praying for the graces so that we can respond in love to the challenges. And the challenge could be something huge. I talked to many women all over the world, and one woman asked me what she should do about her husband into pornography. I know we weren't speaking about this right now, but I'm just saying this is what the world is, and these are people, real people, who have struggles, and we need to pray for them. But some struggles could be as small as seeing your husband's dirty laundry on the floor by the side of the bed that didn't quite make it to the hamper, and you're like, oh my gosh, when is he ever going to learn at all? And it sets the tone for your day, and you get upset. Why bother getting upset?
Yeah.
Just ask him to please respect you and put his clothes in the hamper so you don't have to bend down and pick them up. And ask him nicely with love, but then pick them up. Pick them up, put them in the hamper, say a prayer for him.
Yeah.
So all of these things become opportunities for grace in your marriage by loving through the little tiny inconveniences and difficulties. There's far worse things to be worried about than little thing, little messes in the home. But not to forget, your marriage is a sacrament. All of you out there who
yes.
are married in the church and have a sacramental marriage, call on the graces of the sacrament because they're powerful. And I think that we sometimes forget that it's a sacrament that we can, you know, call upon the graces of by asking our Lord to bless us in a powerful way because we are married. It is a sacrament. And those that power of the grace that God will bestow upon you is powerful, and that's the grace you need to navigate the family life. And as Father Hardin would say, he was my former spiritual director, actually the one responsible for introducing me to Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's up there, servant of God,
yes.
and his canonization will come about at some point, I have no doubt. Very holy priest and Jesuit. He would say that America, you know, Catholics in America in our day need to practice the heroic virtues, not just any old virtues, but to be heroic in your love, to be heroic in your forgiveness, to be heroic in all of the virtues, and ask God to give you the grace to live your life that way, because while you're doing that, amazing things happen. God does it, not you, but God through you transforms your neighbor's heart, transforms your husband's heart, your wife's heart, your children's hearts by loving with his love, by allowing him to love through you, as Mother Teresa did. You know, and she always said, love begins at home.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure we're taking care of all of our responsibilities at home and the care of our families before we run off to try to save the
yes.
world.
So true, so true. Start with our hearts, because when we pray, we're not praying to change God's heart. We're praying to change our heart to be more like God's heart. And
Amen.
that is the journey of that one heartbeat with God. Donna Marie Cooper-O'Boyle with us again. Her latest book is Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa. We've just got a couple more minutes to share with you this morning, Donna Marie. I'm just so thankful for this time. Share with
Thank
us just
you.
A little overview of this Embracing Motherhood, because you've also got an audio version. And I love these when a book comes out and then you've got an audio available. It's great for those who travel a lot or in the car, or maybe you just do a lot of things at home where you can't sit down and read, but you could be listening to
yeah.
the messages. Share about this Embracing Motherhood.
Oh, share about it? Yes, okay. I was having trouble hearing. Yes, I love that it's audio as well, and I narrated it, actually. I went
Wonderful.
Out to Cincinnati to do that. And it's a book that is not just for young mothers, so you might be a little fooled by the cover.
Mm-hmm.
The cover is very beautiful, but it shows a mother's hand and a little baby holding her finger. And it's so beautiful, but it's also for older mothers and grandmothers and anyone with a role with children. And I do my best to try to articulate the joys and the struggles in that holy vocation of motherhood. And in this book, I write a lot about mothers. I have so many books on mothers and for mothers and affirmation for them and encouragement and prayers. And in this one, I do that too, but I also talk about, you know, dealing with the demands for perfection and, you know, mothering our daughters and our sons and being the first and foremost educator and our never-ending prayer and building our domestic church. And I go through the church's teachings on, you know, family life and our openness to life, you know, blessed with those little souls. And I devote a whole chapter to dealing with the really difficult stuff, which could include divorce or could include death or pornography and dangers in the culture, all kinds of things that mothers nowadays deal with. And talking about other people's stories, I've interviewed people that I weave into that chapter with their stories and how they've overcome it or what they've done to deal with it. And then, of course, I couldn't have a book like this without a whole chapter to the Blessed Mother
mm-hmm.
as our model for holiness. So, you know, there's a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement in this book. I mean, we do talk about, I have to talk about the real realities, you know, of the ungodly culture that we're raising our kids in, whether it be, you know, bullying or texting and sexting or worse, but there's a lot of encouragement and joy in this book because it talks about the deep joys that are hardly expressible being a mother, you know, but also the difficulties in trying to figure out whether you're supposed to be a Martha or a Mary.
Yeah.
you you know, that kind of thing, you know, worrying about, you know, how your prayer life is going. And but I hope I weave a lot of tips and advice into this book to help the mom be at peace and to, you know, be joyful in the fact that she's raising little saints to heaven. Mm. It's not just dishes and demands and diapers and teenage angst and things like that. This is just a beautiful vocation where you're so meshed with these human beings that have been entrusted to your care. And it's actually a vocation it's almost so difficult to write about because it's so unbelievable. I think it's one of the most beautiful vocations there is other than the priesthood.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the book is Embracing Motherhood by Servant Books, and you can learn about all of these books that we've talked about and a few more on Donna Marie's website, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. It's DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. Just go to our website, and you can easily just link right there. And then there's a ton of information, and you can learn about a cup of tea with Donna Marie. You could even have a cup of tea with Dina Marie.
Yes. We could have a cup of tea with both of us.
That's right. That's right. A lot of fun things.
What we're doing right now, actually.
Yeah, exactly. You're on EWTN as well. You've got some great programs that you've been producing through them with Father Benedict Rochelle, Teresa Tamio, our friend, Lisa Hendy, our friend down south. Yeah. It's just a great connection of Catholic Voices for Life and for the family. And I'm so blessed to be able to share a little bit about the message. As we come to a close, and we're right at the top of the hour, Donna Marie, would you please help us close with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the gift of family. Please help us. Please grant us your graces. Please help us to be light and salt to the world. We thank you and we love you. And Blessed Mother Mary, pray for us and protect us. Please protect families and all of the angels and saints. Please pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Again, our friend Donna Marie, God's blessings to you and your family during the Lenten journey, and everyone who gets a chance to read and pray through this book, Bringing Lent Home with Mother Teresa. Let's ask for the intercession of Blessed Mother Teresa on this Lenten journey, and we'll look forward to having you back very soon on the broadcast.
Thank you, Dina Marie. Wonderful to be with you. God bless you.
Thanks again. Have a blessed Lent.
You too.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Again, Donna Marie with us, our friend, and so many beautiful books that we've been able to share with this Catholic broadcast, and the latest one on Lent and Mother Teresa. As we come to a close today, I'll remember this from the Gospel of Matthew: freely you have received, freely give. In Christian service, giving is more than just a word. It is a way of life. Share your time, your talent, and your treasure. And always do small things with great love. Peace be with you today and always, and especially during your Lenten journey. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person on Catholic Broadcasting Northwest.